Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I am glad as always that you guys have decided to join us today. You know, we live in a world that can be pretty discouraging at times. You may be in that position right now where you feel like a little hopeless. One of the problems that we have in our society and in this world is that the light of the world is Jesus Christ. The church is supposed to be His voice, His arms, and His legs to reach a lost and a dying world. That is what we were sent to do. And one of the problems is that even though we have a growing amount of churches, we have a shrinking amount of churches that are not willing to compromise the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is that if we do not have the gospel in the center of everything we do, we are essentially saying that we do not believe that God is all-powerful and in control of everything. Mm-hmm. We are failing to do the job as pastors, teachers, churches, and even missions if we fail to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ, and coupled with that love is also the wrath of God. We also need to tell the people that are out there that are dying every day that there is something worse than a physical death. There is an eternal death, and you are going to place yourself in one place or the other. You are either going to walk into the light of Jesus Christ, you are either going to be with Him eternally, or you are going to step into outer darkness, and that is, as someone said the other day, a place of hopelessness. Because even a person in the worst of shape here in the United States or anywhere in the world at least has hope, but those who are lost eternally in hell will have no hope eternally. So you will live forever in eternal death or eternal salvation in an eternal light of Jesus Christ. And so our message needs to be strong, permanent, concrete. We need to tell everybody and let God choose. But we are given that task to keep the gospel and to keep it truthfully. The minute a church starts to compromise the gospel, they start to become a traitor to the actual message that they say they support. So at the Union Gospel Mission, we may not be a church, but we will never compromise the gospel message. The center of our name is gospel, and we believe it. We will not compromise. We never have compromised, because Jesus is the only answer to the gloom that's out there. So at any rate, if you are a believer today and you are also feeling a little gloomy, remember that nothing is outside of God's control. I can tell you right now who will win the election. And I will. I'll tell you right now, whoever God wants in that office is who's going to win that election. Don't forget that sometime God places a David on the throne of Israel. Sometimes He brings a ruler like Nebuchadnezzar in. And so we don't know what God's plan is, but there comes that point in our lives we need to be dedicated to follow Christ no matter what that and let the consequences up to God. So whether we're in an affluent society or we're in a society that has nothing, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, whether we are hungry, or whether we're in plenty, and that's exactly what Paul said. I've learned to be content no matter what my circumstances are. So if you're a believer, no matter how gloomy your circumstances may look, you need to bend your knee, bow your heart, and seek God's face. And, you know, we were talking about it the other day, that I pray all the time that if the suffering comes, that I will never compromise, that I am willing to give up my life or my freedom for the cause of Christ. That isn't to say, however, I want to suffer, because I don't. I don't want to be uncomfortable at all. I want to be comfortable. That's not the question. The question is, are you willing? And I pray that God, with that His Holy Spirit will give me that strength. Now, having said that, I truthfully pray for all of you guys. I pray for this lost and sick and dying world, and I see it getting worse. And the older I get, and I'm pretty old, I see it manifesting itself even more and more. So I have a young man who is not as cynical as I am on the show with me today. I hired him not too long ago. He is my lead chaplain, and he's going to take us in a direction in our chaplaincy that we want it to go. So I have Chris Morris with me today. Could you say hello to everybody, Chris?
Hello, everybody.
So, Chris, tell me a little bit about yourself. First of all, how did you even find out about the Union Gospel Mission?
Yeah, so I'm a member at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and we have a regular ongoing ministry there at the Union Gospel Mission. Thursday nights, second Thursdays are our night, and I was privileged to be able to participate when I first became a member at Emmanuel and share my testimony there, and just ongoing the training and seminary that I'm getting. My pastor, Robert Briggs, recommended that I take a look at one of the open positions that was there at the mission for chaplaincy, and that's when you and I met.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you married?
I'm married. I have a sweet little girl,
Arlene. One and a half children?
Yeah, two children. One's out of the oven and one's in the oven.
Yeah. Yeah, and your wife's name is Melinda?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, my oldest daughter's name is Melinda. You and I have talked about it. Mm-hmm. So you came out, you interviewed with us. You were a Marine at one time, were you not? Still a Marine, I get it. Always a Marine, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, a lifetime ago, that's right.
Well, you know what? All those things make us who we are. God places us in different places, brings us through different experiences. And, you know, whether you were a Marine in Vietnam or Afghanistan or wherever you were, war is something that us civilians probably will never completely understand. But it can shatter lives. And if you don't have Christ, sometimes those lives are never put back together, right?
Yeah, amen.
How did you come to know Christ, actually?
Yeah, so following my time in the military, I pretty soon started just walking in full open debauchery for the majority of 10 years, drinking and drugging and participating in whatever kinds of stuff I could get my hands on. I worked in the oil field and made enough money to support my bad habits. And with the group of people that I was hanging out with, I at one point was held at gunpoint while a man took a baseball bat to me, and I drove from where I was at in Colorado out to California, where my grandparents took me in, and they loved me, and they brought me to church, and I started hearing the gospel. And it wasn't but a couple weeks later that the Lord showed me my need of a Savior, because I had nothing but sin behind me, just a trail of wreckage and sin. And He gave me a glorious Savior in Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, we've talked a little bit about this. A lot of the men will, in their testimony, especially in the past, I would hear them, they would tell me, you know, I did this, this, this. They'd run down this litany of things they did, and about that much of the goodness of God. Where in reality, when people have asked me, well, Pastor, how bad were you? Well, I can tell you in a nutshell, I can wrap this up in 3 seconds. I was bad enough to go to hell. Mm-hmm. And that's all you really need to know, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes those broken roads like yours, the debauchery, and by the way, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to say that I wasn't a part of those type of things either. Because as a young man and unsaved, and I was saved later in life, I was 28 years old before Christ pulled me to Himself. And so alcohol and yes, I did some drugs when I was a kid, you know, not much. I was not into much of that. But the whole idea was that I lived a life like the world lives a life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With the exception that I felt like God was, I never would have wanted to go and insult God to his face, you know? I never would have wanted to admit that I wasn't his.
Yeah, sure.
Like so many people in the United States, I go to church on Christmas and Easter, so I must be a believer, right? My mom believed, my grandmother believed, so I must be a believer. Well, I wasn't. I followed my own dictates, my own heart. And so to your point, when I finally had the scales drop off my eyes and I saw how bad I really was, it was shocking. And I would like to tell you that I came to Christ, and let me tell you something, I was the best Christian. I walked upright every moment of my life ever since then. And if I told you that, that would be one more sin of lying that I'd have to account for, because I had my moments of slipping back into old ways, old habits. And but I can tell you that even if I was guaranteed, which I am, to have heaven in front of me, I wouldn't want to live that lifestyle anyway.
Yeah.
I would want to walk with God, not because I'm trying to work my way into heaven, but the walk with Christ is better here and certainly amazing there, right?
Yeah, amen.
So you went to church, but do you remember when you actually knew I have to follow Christ?
Yeah, so when I started going to church those several years ago, I do remember being at the church there, and the pastor was preaching through the book of Ruth, and between me, you, and the fence post over there, I thought to myself, who cares about this old book?
Yeah.
Who cares about it? Why are we even talking about this?
Yeah.
But I didn't understand the importance of Scripture.
Sure.
I didn't understand the importance of that story of Ruth and the typological aspects of it that point us to Jesus Christ and his salvation. I didn't understand any of that. But
the kinsman redeemer, yeah.
But during the middle of that is when God showed me that he knew everything about my life. And when I was broken before him and asked him to have mercy on my soul, and that very same week I went back in the middle of this series on Ruth, and I couldn't wait to hear more.
Oh,
I could not
yeah.
wait to hear more about what did God have to say in his word, you know?
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I have a friend who was a member of a church that wasn't really a church.
Mm.
And he didn't really believe. And he said to me, I would read the Bible, it meant nothing. It's like, oh man, this collection of old dusty dry stories. He said, I don't even get it. I don't know what they're talking about. And he said, and when I went, and when I truly came to Christ, he said, it's like all of a sudden, I understand, you know, not everything, but I'm understanding. And what else happened, and I know it happened with you, you have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God you never had before. Like you said, you went, now I want to hear about Ruth. I want to hear about Boaz. I want to hear about, okay, how does this tie in? How does this come? And so, I'm with you, brother. So you came and you believed for the first time that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world, and of course you completely understood everything, right?
100%.
Yeah, exactly. So how long have you been saved now?
Just over 5 years, about 5.5 years.
Yeah. Okay. And I know for a fact that you met your wife, and she was already a believer, right?
She was already a believer, that's right.
So yeah. She instantly wanted to see you, right?
She wanted nothing to do with me at first, that's right. She avoided me like the plague. Yep.
I think that's a great story, but you won her over.
Yeah, it was after I was baptized and brought in as a member of a church, that her heart started to open up. She knew that I was serious about following Jesus Christ, and she actually, just between us, because no one's listening.
Right.
She's the one that asked me on the date the first time.
Wow. So,
and it was at Costco.
Well, you know, my brother sitting here is like 6'5", and, you know, he's husky and handsome and all of that stuff. But I got to tell you, he married up.
Yeah, amen to that. That's for sure. Yeah.
She is really a very sweet woman. And so did she go to IBC?
We met at Gold Country Baptist Church.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Yeah. Yep. And she has known Pastor Steve Meister there for a very long time and looks up to him like a father and wanted him to do the wedding. And that's how we got pulled into
IBC.
IBC. Yeah.
Steve Meister is a pastor at one of the pastors at IBC. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful preacher and a good man. He grows a wonderful beard. I like that. I have been to IBC many times, and I can tell you right now it's solid. Robert Briggs, Steve Meister, the elders. It's a 1689 confessional church, so you're not going to go wrong, right?
That's right, yeah.
And so when you came to the mission, what did you think? I mean, in other words, you came... He had recommended that you come and maybe talk to me about the chaplaincy and stuff. So what did you think when you came and you interviewed that day?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to think. And there's not really a way to describe the work at the mission. It's kind of like our interview was like premarital counseling. You can get all the premarital counseling you want, but you won't really know until you're married, you know?
Right. But you do need to get it.
You do need to get it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't really know what to expect. I gathered it was probably a mix of evangelism and biblical counseling. Mm-hmm. And it is. It is a mix of evangelism and biblical counseling and just being in the Word all the time with the guys and opening up the glories of Christ for them, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Biblical counseling, nouthetic counseling, whatever you want to call that. Before there was ever the institutions for biblical counseling, pastors were the counselors.
Yeah, that's right.
We abrogated somewhere along our responsibility to counsel our own people, and we turned it over to people that really had no grasp of a biblically centered counseling session. And because we did that, we allowed the door to be opened up to the world and to false doctrine and false teaching. And so the man that is really called the founder of biblical counseling, Jay Adams, he didn't have it all correct, but none of us have it all correct. But the whole idea was to bring it back to where men of God and women of God are counseling women, and to get to a point where we were introducing back into everything we're doing, not an integrated look at things, but a subtly, the Bible has the answer for every single thing in our lives, but it takes trained individuals to know how to bring that out in circumstances where people are broken, whether there's marriages at stake, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the case is, you need to be trained in it, but you need to believe that the Bible has the answer, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And I think also just what the Lord has given us an understanding from his revelation that we are actually creatures of body and spirit.
That's right.
And being able to address both those things at the mission through felt needs. We minister to the men who are there through felt needs and physically tend to them with their coming off of whatever substances they've been using. They have a clean environment. They have a sober environment. They have food. They have shelter. They have all that stuff. And then we minister to their souls with the Word of God.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't tell you what church you should go to. But I will tell you this about the church you do go to, that they need to believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of the living God. Mm-hmm. They need to follow Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, in that Trinitarian belief. They need to believe that you are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Why? Lest any man should boast about it. And those are core beliefs, you know. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And sola scriptura, that the Bible has all the answers and that it is the authority when it comes to our doctrinal stance.
Right, yeah.
If your church compromises those things, you need to go to another church.
Yeah, and that's important, I think, especially considering what you just said about doctrinal stances and being derived from Scripture. And, you know, if those things aren't expressly set down from Scripture, then what sort of guardrails do you have to protect yourself from heresy entering in or false teaching or any of that?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Because if you and I sit down, and, well, not, I'm not going to use you and I. If someone sits down with someone else, they believe in the inerrant Word of God. The other person claims to be a Christian, but they think the Bible, well, you know, it's as much as it's translated right, or you know, some of this was man and done, then what basis do we have to form our doctrine?
Yeah, right.
It's that it then becomes a Burger King type thing. You can have it your way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And regardless of those things, the minute that man starts trying to fit God into a box, he's in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he is sovereign, he is holy, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us, I mean, I've often said, if I was going to come up with a religion, you know, I wouldn't want eternal hell. I wouldn't want this, I wouldn't want this. But you know what? It wouldn't take me 2 seconds to have everything messed up.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So I have to rely. And when I get stumped on something and I say to myself, I don't understand why God was doing this, I can always go back to the fact that I don't know what he meant, but I do know the God that did this.
Yeah, right.
Yep. And so, is it important that we have that kind of trust in God?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And that real true knowledge that we can have of him from his word that helps us to understand he is good and does good and has never failed to be good. Even when our life seems hard or we're struggling, we can take comfort and rest in that truth because he's never changing and he's always been good.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this earlier today. It's a good thing, too, because if God can change, he might say the deal's off.
Mm.
I'm not gonna keep you. And as a theologian once said, if God could change, he could become evil. But the good news is God can't change. We're down to 1 minute. Any parting word? And can you come back for next week's show?
Yeah, I can be here for next week's show. I do want to say thank you for all the support that we receive at the mission. Mm-hmm. The people who contribute and all of our volunteers and everybody who comes in, it's not just chaplains, it's not just the director that makes it happen, but it is a united effort. That's why we're called the Union Gospel Mission, and we're doing the work of Christ.
A gospel-centered union of believers, right?
Amen. Yep.
And so we are kind of out of time, guys, and I so much appreciate you listening to this show. I can only tell you that all the people at the mission love God and the mission. And so until we meet again, my friends, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched, and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.